I think that oftentimes you only hear by mail, phone, or now mostly email from people who are unhappy.
Right.
They tend to react. I mean, hardly anybody writes and says, isn't it a lovely day out there? But that said, I would say it's mixed. There are people who think this is unfair. In fact, I got a wonderful email yesterday from a guy in Las Vegas, and he said, please do a column to explain that we work for the federal government. We don't work for the state of Florida or California or Wisconsin. We are not state employees.
Right.
We are not getting these big pensions for which we pay nothing. And he's got a really good point. You know, government workers are lumped into one category, if you will. But a lot of people are writing in and they're saying this is unfair. It's not right. When things are going good, they don't notice this. When things are going bad, we're the scapegoats. That said, I have a good job. I love my job. I'm serving my country, and everything's okay. So I do hear a lot of that. So I think there's a stiff upper lip out there.
And there is a certain, I mean, it has been a long time since Congress did their job and got the money passed
there
on
again,
time. This is almost built into the system.
Republicans, Democrats, doesn't matter who runs it. Each side, when they're in the minority, criticizes the other. But the fact remains that those people up on the Hill, 535 of 100 senators, 435 House members, 200 plus of which are millionaires.
Yeah.
And these people are not doing their job. They're not passing the budget, which is the basic reason they were sent to Congress. Lots of stuff to talk about, and this is, again, following the money. The vast majority of federal workers are under FERS, the Federal Employees Retirement System, and that's the one with this three-legged stool. They have a reduced civil service benefit, savings from the Thrift Savings Plan, which the government augments by 5%. It's a 5% tax-deferred pay raise, what it amounts to. You're crazy if you don't take advantage of that.
At least then, at that amount, because you're passing up on free money.
At least put 5% in. And then you're talking about Social Security. For about 200,000 to 300,000 people who are still under the old civil service retirement system, they are better off if they're career people, if they're lifers, because when they retire into the government, they will get a civil service benefit that's subject to inflation adjustments immediately upon retirement. It tends to go up, not the last 2 years, but it tends to go up. It's very generous, and they may or may not have Social Security, and they may or may not have a 401k plan. But for them, the primary source of stream of income is probably their civil service retirement. For the first people, as you point out, it's very different. When they set up the Thrift Savings Plan, they estimated that it would supply about a third of the after retirement income for people retiring under FERS. During the salad days of the 90s, when we were getting those double digit returns routinely, 20% was nothing, 30% was acceptable. But when people were getting that, they raised the ante and said it's going to provide about 50% of the annuity. Mm. Now with the market crash and the readjustments, people are very concerned about this. Some people saw their TSPs, people like us, our 401ks, drop 40 to 50%. That's changed their retirement plans. It's changed the way they look, and it's changed a lot of people's outlook on, you know, most people, this is why you go into an indexed fund. You go into it and you buy and hold.
Yep.
You buy and hold. You dollar cost average. You're buying a lot of shares when the market is down. You're buying lesser shares when it's up, but you're putting in the same amount of money. But at the end of 20 or 30 years, you expect to have a chunk of change. Having seen what the market has done the last couple of years, and you know, it may be doing it again this week because of the uncertainty in Libya, and people really, I don't think, are worried so much about Libya as what's next is Saudi Arabia next, you know, ripe for a revolution, 40% of the world's oil. So a lot of people are concerned about what to do, and a lot of people, I think the numbers show that people are switching into the G fund, the Treasury Securities Fund. And I have had, I don't want to overstress it, but I have had maybe 10 or 12 emails from people who said, what happens if the G fund fails? And the answer to that is, head for the hills.
If the G fund fails, you have much larger problems
than
your retirement.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. hunker down to fortress home. But yeah, I think it's legitimate to worry about it. But on the other hand, you think, what can the average person do?
Right.
And really about all you can do, unless you're buying gold and putting it under the mattress, is to keep funding your TSP and hope we'll muddle through as we always have.
And my sense is, even whether there will be any changes to Social Security, it seems like a long shot to me, frankly, because we've talked about this for a long time. it's news that we're even, that it's even on the discussion. And even if they changed the overall retirement benefits, what they did 20, 25 years ago was they sort of grandfathered people in, and so you created, so it, for essentially everybody that's listening, if you're a Fed today, my sense is you're probably fine. What you, the situation may change, tinker a little bit, but you're probably fine long term.
Well, it's also too, people talk about they don't want it means tested, but in fact it already is. Yeah. If you have above a certain income or a certain level of benefits, you pay more for Medicare Part B than people who have a lesser benefit. So it's already means tested in that way. And it's also means tested in the fact that if you are a millionaire paying the maximum into Social Security for 30 years and retire, and you're somebody who just barely made it, made do, or maybe had to drop out of the workforce to raise a family or something, you get back a larger proportion of the money you put in than somebody who's the millionaire. So it's means tested. And what's likely to happen, I would guess, is that, as you said, it will be prospective, and they will gradually raise the retirement age, which they have anyhow. They raise the age for benefits. So there's no reason to not do that, for them to do that, and probably apply some kind of means test. And that is, if you continue to work, have an income, or if you have certain assets, that maybe they will reduce your Social Security benefit over time. But I don't see any wholesale cutting of it. You know, this is one in six Americans gets a Social Security check. Who's going to mess with that?
Right. And the other thing that I've seen it discussed in New York and a couple other state and local organizations, environments, is delaying when you can take any kind of pension until one actually fully retires, either 62, 65, sometime.
Yeah.
So people essentially aren't getting a retirement while they're earning a second salary. You know, that seems that like something that could enter the federal space.
I do think with the emphasis on this fiscal reduction commission. Now, Congress took the easy way out this time. They ignored it, you know, and which everybody predicted they would do. Saxby Chambliss of Georgia and Warner of Virginia, I'm sorry. They're working up this thing. They call them the Gang of Six because of the people they're with. But they're working up this package now that will, in essence, make some, if not all, of the deficit recommendations a part of legislation and let the Congress have an up or down vote on it.